Being a mother is a great, great privilege. It's also an awesome responsibility. God gives you a life and then 20 years to train it. God gives you a life and then 20 years to train that life to be what He wants it to be. That's scary. I want to share with you some advice today. And I already know most of you are going to say, Lee, you don't understand what it's like to be a mother. So I already know you're going to say that. But I want to share the advice with you anyway. And I want to say to you that the most important thing in your life as a mother, the most important thing is the spiritual things. I know there are a lot of other things in your life, but the most important thing is the spiritual things. And in that 20 or 25 years, whatever it is that you have to train your children, you have to teach them and set an example for them and train them, and there are absolutely no guarantees. When that person reaches a certain age, he has free will and he can make his own choice. And there's nothing you can do about it. Your child will grow up to be able to make their own choice. And whatever they choose, you cannot change it. If they choose to be a godly person, your entire life will be rewarded. All of your life, the rest of your life, everything. Just what a joy it is to be a mother of a godly child that grows up to be a godly person. Nothing greater that I can think of. If they choose the other side, there's nothing more disappointing. There are a lot of things that will break your heart, but there's nothing that will break it more deeply than to know your child has rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to give you some advice to increase your odds. It's not a guaranteed thing. There's no guarantees. You do the best you can do, and you pray, and you hope that it'll all work out, but they have to make their own choice. And most of you, like me, have seen families that had several kids, and 4 out of 5 turn out for God, and the other one turns against God. And you say they had the same family life, they had the same mother, they had the same father, they had the same teaching, everything. And you say, why did that happen? And the reason it happened is because each person can choose for themselves, and each person must choose for themselves. But let's increase the odds. The first thing I'm going to suggest, the first piece of advice, and again, I know you want to tell me all about it. Lee, you just don't understand. But the first piece of advice is to mothers. Mothers have a daily quiet time. Mothers have a daily quiet time. Your relationship with God is so important. Because there is no way you can lead where you do not go. There's no way you can set an example for your children that you are a godly person unless you are a godly person. And the only way to be a godly person is to spend some time with God. The only way to be a godly person is to spend some time with God. And so you need to have a daily quiet time in which it's just you and God. You say, Lee, do you have any idea what it's like to have a small child? do you know what it's like to have a child or 2 children or 3 children? You're telling me that I need to find some kind of way to have a daily quiet time for just me and God? Yep. Some way. Find it. Find it. Some way. Somewhere. You know, you learn pretty early. You sleep when the babies sleep. If you don't learn that, you're sleepy a lot. Okay, you just learn to sleep when the babies sleep. Linda has a friend who had twins, and a co-worker. Anyway, she came by Linda's work a week or two ago, and she had twins, and they were talking about the babies and all that. She said the babies are what, 14 weeks old, did you tell me? 14 weeks old. And she said, I sat down and had a talk. You twins, y'all both got to sleep at the same time. But being a mother is a pretty time-consuming job. And when somebody comes up and say, you need to set aside some time for just you and God, I know your action is, Lee, you just don't understand. There is no time to set aside. I don't have any extra time. I'm suggesting you find it. Some way, somehow, don't neglect that. Because, see, in life, time is what life is. Time, that's what life is. And time passes, whether you use it correctly or not, it is still gone. I know we have, people say we can save time. Well, you can save money, but you can't save time. If I would save money, if I'd save $10 every time I got paid, eventually I would have $100, right? Did you know I can't save time and have, okay, I need 100 extra hours? No way to do that. You can't save it. You can't store it. You use it, and you got to make sure you use it correctly. And daily quiet time is never urgent. It never demands for your time. The little kid will demand for your time. And your husband will demand for your time. And your job, if you've got a job, will demand for your time. And the telephone will demand for your time. But daily quiet time, never urgent. Not ever. I mean, it's just never urgent. So you have to make it urgent. You have to say, this is important to me. I'm going to do this. And so you spend some time in the Word of God. The Bible says all Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. All Scripture is inspired by God and is profitable. It is useful for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. In other words, the Bible says that the Bible itself is all you need in your relationship with God. It is everything you need in your relationship with God. And your relationship with God is the most important thing in your life. Your relationship with God is the most important thing in your life. So you need to spend some time in the Word. And it's not easy to find that time. It's not easy to find that time. It is never urgent. It never comes and rings the doorbell. It never rings on the phone and I got to answer it. It's never the crying baby. You just got to say, I'm going to do this. I'm going to spend some time with God. I'm going to spend some time in His Word. Now, when I teach about that, I normally say you need to do it every day. And most people I read from and talk to agree with that. You need to do it every day. In my own life, I schedule my quiet time for 5 days a week. And I do that because of my own little quirks in my personality. If I say I need to do it every day and I miss a day, somehow that just bothers me. I know I can do it twice the next day, but somehow it just bothers me. So I just decided I'm going to schedule them for 5 days a week, and then if I miss a day, I got a time to catch up. And so if you got funny ways, that's what my mama said about me. I had funny ways. If you got funny ways too, just... Yeah, I just schedule for 5 days a week. I'm going to have a daily quiet time. I'm going to have some time in which I'm in the Word. God told Joshua, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success. Joshua was going to be a military leader. And God told him, spend some time in the Word. Meditate on the Word. You're going to be a parent? Meditate on the Word. That's the way you be prosperous. That's the way you be successful. Spend some time with God. Spend some time with God. Somehow or another, find the time. Make the time to do that. There's nothing more important. There's a lot of things that's more urgent, but there's nothing more important than having a daily quiet time. And in your daily quiet time, you study the Word. And you can hear it, you can read it, you can study it, you can memorize it, you can meditate on it, but find a way to spend some time in the Word. Spend some time in the Word. Spend some time in prayer. That's a part of your daily quiet time. The Word and prayer. Spend some time in prayer. Philippians 4, 6 and 7 says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Be anxious for nothing. For you mothers, I don't want you to answer loud, but what are you tempted most to worry about? Your children. I mean, you worry about everything. Make sure they're safe, they don't get hurt, that they have good friends, that nobody bullies them at school. Everything. When they go out, you worry about whether they're going to be safe when they go out, when they get old enough to drive. You worry about them choosing the right career. You worry about them choosing the right person to marry. I mean, you worry about every aspect. Philippians 4, 6 says, be anxious for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. You need to have a daily quiet time, and a big part of that daily quiet time is you praying for your kids. You're praying for your kids. And you need to do that. You need to make sure you have that time. It is difficult to find that time. It is difficult to find it. And once you find it, Satan is always trying to steal it. Satan is always trying to steal it. All the time. I mean, you say, I can do it right here. I can do it in this time frame. Something always happens. Something always comes up. Every time. To try to steal that time away. And you say, well, I'll just quit earlier today. It doesn't make that much difference. I'll do it tomorrow. Oh, I didn't have time today. I'll do it later. And after a while, you're not doing it at all. And you really intended to, you wanted to, you planned to, you just didn't do it. So my first piece of advice is, tell me, have a daily quiet time. As a mother, have a daily quiet time. And you don't change that when the child is 3 months old or 6 months old or whatever. You still have a daily quiet time. Lee, you don't understand. I know that. I know you're going to say that. But I want to tell you, there's nothing more important than your relationship to God. Nothing. Not even your children. Now, they are more urgent sometimes. You do have to, if something happens, your kid fall out the crib or something when you're having your daily quiet time, stop and go help them, okay? You know, so I'm not saying that you don't take care of them, but I am saying that your relationship with God is so important to you being a mother, because you can't lead where you don't go. You can't be a godly mother if you're not a godly person, right? I can't have a godly influence on my children if I'm not a godly person. And the godly person begins with my relationship with God. And my relationship with God is so important that I need to make sure that I find time to maintain that relationship. Even when I've got kids, I need to make sure that I spend time with God. Have a daily quiet time. My second piece of advice, keep your priorities straight. Keep your priorities straight. The most difficult thing in life is practicing priorities. the most difficult thing in life is practicing priorities. It is not difficult, at least for me, it is not difficult to determine priorities. I know what should come first, right? God's first. The problem is, what does that mean? As a preacher, I have a hard time keeping a straight face sometimes with what people tell me why they need to miss church. I mean, just all kinds of crazy reasons why they need to miss church. Now, I don't think coming to church equals your relationship to God, but I think coming to church is a part of your relationship with God. Just like the daily quiet time is a part of your relationship with God. But people, what does that mean? God's first in my life. Nearly everybody here would say God's first in my life. So what does that mean? What does that mean when Aunt Susie comes to town for Sunday morning? She's just going to be here one day and then she's got to leave. What does that mean? What does that mean on Monday when I got to go to work? And I got to get the kids ready for school. And I've got to help my husband get his clothes ready. I got to do all these things. What does it mean that God is first? You see, it's easy for me to decide that God is first, but what does that mean that God is first? What would that mean in my life? What did that look like? You know, it's kind of like the mother that was describing to the kids what a Christian was like. Christian is a person who loves God and loves people and is good to everybody and never lies, always tells the truth, you know, reads his Bible, goes to church, has his prayer, all that kind of stuff. One little boy raised his hand and said, they were describing a Christian there. One little boy raised his hand and said, have I ever seen one? You know, so it's easy to say what we think we ought to do. It's easy to say, this is, God is my priority. God is first in my life. It is difficult to figure out, what does that mean? But you need to figure it out for yourself. I can't figure it out for you. I think if God's first in your life, I think you're going to have your daily quiet time. I think you're going to miss. You're going to be at church whenever the doors open. I think you're going to try to witness to other people. All these things I think is a part of it, but you have to decide for yourself. I can't decide for you. What does it mean God's first? In my life, I believe God's first, my family's second, and my job is third. I don't have any trouble figuring that out. None. I've been married 43 years. I've been in the full-time ministry 36 of those 43 years. And for 36 years, every time I've ever said that from the pulpit, my wife told me that afternoon, your job's first, Lee, not your family, and not God. It's your job that's first. You see, I don't have any trouble figuring out what should be first. It's just, what does that mean practically? What does that mean every day? If God's first in my life, okay, God's first. You'd be amazed at the number of people who will tell you God's first in their life, and they never give money. They never give money to the Lord's work. They don't attend church. They don't read the Bible. They don't pray. They don't try to witness to other people. But if you ask them, what's first in your life? Well, God's first in my life. No, God's not first in your life. Don't fool yourself. Jesus said, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. I need to put him first. And if I put him first, that has some kind of practical application. Some kind of way it makes a difference in my life. So keep your priorities straight. We should have checked to make sure there was no guns brought into the building. It's the next thing we're going to say. The next thing we're going to say may get me in trouble. But I think God needs to be first in your life, mothers. And I think your husband should be second. How about my children? Nope, your husband. You mean, Lee, you are saying that my husband is more important than my children? Yes. The best thing you can do, mothers, the best thing you can do for your children is to love their daddy. the best thing you can do for your children is to love their daddy. You know how hard that is for mothers? I don't mean how hard it is to love their daddy. I mean how hard it is to put their husband ahead of their children. That's tough. That is tough. And it, you know, when the kids are little, man, it's like almost impossible. Because the kids demand so much of your time. They're totally dependent on the mothers. Totally. And yet, you say, Lee, I need to put my husband ahead of this responsibility? Yes. Your relationship with your husband is more important than your relationship with your children. So you need to keep your priorities straight. God's first, your husband, then your children. Now, I think it's very, very important that you spend some time with your children. I know I've heard that deal about I'm spending quality time, not quantity time, all that. I just want to suggest, don't fool yourself, okay? Don't fool yourself. It takes time to develop a relationship. You need to spend some time with your kids. You need to spend some time with your kids. You just need to spend a lot of time with your kids. My personal opinion, and I'm giving you opinion, okay? Everybody knows opinion. This is not Bible, this is opinion. This is what Lee thinks. I think mothers should do everything they can do to not work during the first 6 to 7 years of their kid's life. I think being a mother is a full-time job. And I don't think you can pay somebody to do it for you. I don't think you can pay somebody to do it for you. You can't pay somebody to love them. After I say that, I need to tell you, we decided when our daughter was born, we had one child, says Linda was not going back to work for 6 years. Every year we put it off. Susan was 13 years old when Linda went back to work part-time. And I look back now, we could have had a lot more money. But you know what? I wish we'd have waited even longer. Because I think kids need their mama. I really do. I think kids need their mama. Even when they're teenagers, I think they need their mama. Now, I know there are cases in which you have to work. I know that. And it just makes it more difficult for you. And so you need to make sure that the kids get some time. Just some time. Just spend time with them. Somehow, some way, spend time with them. And if you have to work, you have to work. Still find some time to spend some time with your children. As well as spending time with your children, you need to spend time also away from your children. So you need to spend a lot of time with your kids, some time away from your kids. You need to spend a lot of time with your kids, sometimes away from your kids. Keep your priorities straight. Let me tell you another one, okay? You need to teach their kids, your kids, that they are not the center of the universe. You need to teach your kids that they are not the center of the universe. For a mother, you may think they are. But they need to learn that the world doesn't revolve around me. And the earlier they learn that, the better off they're going to be. And there's nobody else going to teach them unless the parents teach them. There's nobody else going to teach them that. You need to teach them that they're not the center of the universe. They're an important person. They're God's creation. They're special. But so is everybody else. First piece of advice was you need to have a daily quiet time. Second piece of advice was keep your priorities straight. God's first, your husband, your children, others, all that. And let me just give you the last one. I won't spend a lot of time there. But the last one, number three. What was the first one? Daily quiet time. What was the second one? Keep your priorities straight. The third one is, make sure you train your kids the Word of God. It is the parents' responsibility to train them. It is not the school's responsibility. It is not the church's responsibility. It's the parents' responsibility. The parents' responsibility. School may help them. Church may help them. But it's the parents' responsibility. And it's primarily the husband's responsibility. These words which I am commanding you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your sons and shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise up. That was instructions to fathers. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 6 and 7. Instruction to fathers. Mothers, here's my advice. Since we fathers mess up so often, you make sure it happens, okay? You make sure it happens. I know God gave the responsibility to the parents, primarily to the fathers. I know that's true. I know they ought to do it. But I also know they fail to do it so many times. And if mama don't do it, it won't get done. And it's too important not for it to get done. It's too important. Timothy's mother and grandmother trained him, and the Bible says about him that from infancy he had known the sacred writings, which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. That's 2 Timothy 3:15. That from childhood you have known the sacred writings. From infancy you have known the scriptures. Timothy's father was not a godly person. He was not a Jew. So his mother and his grandmother trained him. His mother and his grandmother had faith, according to 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. And they transferred that faith. They communicated that faith to him from infancy. Make sure your child knows the Word of God. It will not guarantee they will become godly. It will not guarantee they will become godly. But it'll increase the odds, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Romans 10, 17. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Mothers, three pieces of advice. And all of you can tell me, going out the back door, Lee, you don't understand. That's okay. But my three pieces of advice is, have a daily quiet time. Keep your priorities straight. And make sure your children learn the Word of God. Mothers, you have a great, great privilege and a terrifying responsibility. God gave you a life that's going to spend eternity somewhere. And then He gave you about 20 years to train that life. And many of you can testify with me that 20 years flies by. I mean, it flies by. Have a daily quiet time. Keep your priorities straight. And make sure your child knows the Word of God.